Thanks be to God. Thank you. Ezekiel finds himself in a valley of dry bones, a forgotten, ancient valley, bones scattered by animals, unburied and forgotten. Ezekiel knew the code. He understood that if he were to touch a dead body, he would be ceremonially unclean for 7 days. But he also knew that God was up to something, as strange as that may seem. God was always up to something. If you remember, Ezekiel had actually cooked his own food on dung because that's what God told him to do. Sometimes it's that crazy, isn't it? And God asked, can these bones live? And I think about Ezekiel's response, oh Lord, you know. There's a couple ways to think about that, right? Like very diplomatic answer. Oh Lord, you know. Right? Oh Lord, you know. Because he understood that he was not going to actually answer that question himself. God, you tell me. Like this is your time, God. You tell me. I don't know, but you know, God. Because Ezekiel knows as he looks at this situation, if anything is going to happen, it's only going to be by God's hand. If anything is going to happen, it's only going to be by God's hand. So God says, prophesy to the bones. Prophesy to the bones as if they have ears to hear. As if they have ears to hear, because sometimes people will not listen, will they? Prophesy to them even as if they have ears to hear. Tell them what God will do. I will pull them together. I will put flesh on them. And then I will breathe on them. And the bones begin to rattle. And they come together, but there's still no life. They only gain life when God puts breath in them. They only get life when God puts breath in them. Call to the four winds, the ruach. Call to the wind. It means wind, breath, and spirit all together. That's the Hebrew word for wind, breath, and spirit. Call to that wind and breathe it in. And that's what God does. And the breath comes into them and they stand up and now they live. Only by God's breath. Then God says to Ezekiel, mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say their bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves. I will bring you back into the land of Israel. Ezekiel hears these words in the midst of exile, a time when all hope is lost. And people have given up. You know anybody that's given up? Everything that you assumed true of God and God's promises don't seem to make sense anymore. I think sometimes this happens when we make wrong decisions. And in our mind, as we make those wrong decisions, we find ourselves in a big hole. And we begin to think to ourselves, there is no way possibly coming for me to get out of this. Have you ever been in that place where you think that God cannot help you? Have you ever been in that place where you think maybe God cannot forgive you? I know that some of us have been there. I would imagine that there are some that are here today that are in that place. If we're being honest, I would imagine that some are questioning whether or not God is still with me, wondering if these bones can live again, wondering if it's just going to be us being the walking dead. You know, I mentioned Bob Goff last week in his book, Love Does. And again, I would encourage you to read it if you've not read it. And he tells a story about kids from Uganda sitting in jail cells more than 2 years without any hope of seeing a courtroom. Obviously, things are done very differently in different places. He said the jails were dilapidated concrete buildings surrounded by razor wire. And I pick that story and I wonder to myself, can these bones live? Bob and his friend Charlie, along with some other folks, were trying to be awesome, like we talked about last week. And they helped 72 kids receive fair trials and had their legal issues resolved. And I'm going back to the question that Ezekiel asked, Lord, only you know. Only you know. And you say to yourself, I'm not going to Uganda. But we don't have to travel there to see dead bones, do we? All around us, we see people who are crying out. Our bones are dry up. Our bones are dried up. Some are there because of a devastating diagnosis. Some are there because family life isn't getting better. And it's all going downhill. It continues to go downhill. Some are there because of a breakup. Some are there because of betrayal. Some are there because they don't make enough money or wear the right clothes or they don't go to the right school. Some are there because depression won't let them believe anything else about themselves. Some are there because we pretend like we've got our act together when really we don't always have our act together. But God forbid if anyone sees that I don't have my junk together. And there is no life in us. And there is no life in us because there is no spirit in us. Because somehow or another we have lost our connection to the God who first breathed into us. And we ask the question again, can these bones live? Can these people live? And I don't know where we are. That is the hard part when I stand here. Because I know that our system does not allow us the opportunity to really know where we are, does it? Because as soon as we're done here today, we all have things to do. And we are on a schedule. And I need to get places and you need to get places. And you all have to be back here at 4 o'clock for the trunk or treat. So I'm setting part of that schedule. But we all are doing those things, and we're all going to those places. And I know that tomorrow we have things on our calendar and things that we're supposed to do. And we wonder, can these bones live? And my assumption is that this morning that there are some here who do feel hopeless. There are some that feel dead here. Wondering if God can still breathe new life into the broken and helpless situation. And I want to scream out, you know, God's not done yet. Because I believe that. I trust that. I want to scream that out because this is what God has always done. In the midst of hopelessness, God has always promised to be there. God has always promised to be faithful. And God has never left us. Even when I believe that God surely has left me because I'm not good enough, or I'm not smart enough, or my sin is too great for God to overcome. And I know that you have those thoughts. Because people are having those thoughts, yes? I'm not making this stuff up. This is a story about God breathing life into Adam, God breathing life into Eve. This is the gift of Pentecost right here. This is what it is. This is the only way we have life and existence. And I know you can deconstruct those arguments, and I understand that there's so many other factors in that, and I believe science plays a part in that. And I understand that, but I believe that none of that exists without the breath. I believe none of it exists without the breath of God, the Spirit of God, the wind of God moving us. Can these bones live anymore? God sends Ezekiel into a death trap. God pursues us into whatever dark place that we've landed. Do you know of anyone in a dark place this morning? Would you raise your hand? Do you know, are you in a dark place this morning? See, the church has to be about asking that question. And the church has to be willing to go into that place, right? We talked about it last week. The church has to be willing to go and to ask God, because everyone else is asking, can these bones live again? God, I don't know. You know, God, Lord, I don't know, God, but I trust that they can. If you say they can, God. If you say they can. Say, I believe it's in those dark places. I believe it's in those spots that God comes to us. God sits with us. Sometimes it's by sending prophets. Sometimes it's by sending a church. But it is always by sending the breath of God. Amen? It is always by the breath of God. The Spirit with the power to bring life out of death, light out of darkness, to bring hope out of hopelessness. Yes, the bones can live. I believe it, do you? I believe it, do you? Your bones can live. Your life can change. Yes, God can bring resurrection out of death. That's what we believe, friends. That's when we go to a funeral and we pray. That's what we say. We are resurrection people, yes? And here's the thing. Everyone else that does not like the church, or people that hate the church, and there are people that hate the church, and people that question the church. They question the church because they think that the church doesn't even know what it believes anymore. They think the church is only concerned with who's going to be elected for president. And we'll get there next week. That'll be a good message next week. What God cares about is resurrection. What God cares about is life in the midst of darkness. That's what God cares about. I can't. It's just hard for me. You know, because I think God has so much more for us. The church, with all of its flaws, with all of our mistakes, the church has to be willing to carry the banner for hope, man. I mean, if we don't carry it, if we don't believe it, if we don't believe in love, and if we don't go into places where people are feeling unloved, and if we don't go into those places and spread that love, then we're not being what we're called to be. There are so many opportunities. There are so many opportunities. You know right now, you already know where the valley of dry bones is. You know where it is. And it looks different for everybody. And our responsibility, because of what God has done for us, is to go there. It is to go there. And our responsibility, when we are the valley, pray, God, someone help me. And please let us be attentive to know that. How many people do we know that are in the valley and they refuse to ask? And because sometimes we don't see everything, we don't see that they're in the valley. Well, the great thing about what God does is that right where the valley is, right in the valley of dry bones, God invites us to a meal. God invites us to a meal that will put strength and power in our bones, and that we will be allowed to live wherever it is that we are. We have communion every week because we believe and we trust that this table brings life to the walking dead. I believe that you can receive this meal for the very first time and come to know God for the very first time today. We believe that. We believe that you can get the nourishment that you need right here today. And in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come and receive the Spirit. Come and receive the bread of life. I will invite you to come and to live. And this morning also, while we're sharing in communion, there's going to be a video that we play. And the Lord must have Katy Perry on our hearts. And so I don't know why. Yeah, what's up, man? Okay. The short answer is to not give up. The longer answer, I think, requires some context, you know, for us to answer that. Because I do believe that some people will refuse that. And while we continue to pray for them, you know, I don't want to be callous about that. I think that there's some people that when you go and you take them the things and you try to sit with them, they don't want you to sit with them. And I think you have to be able to make those decisions. You know, as far as like, what am I going to do and how can I do this where I'm not going to continue to hurt myself? And at the same time, I think we have to risk. I mean, I'm not a counselor, you know what I'm saying? But I, in my mind, as a Christian, I believe that there are pieces of that work into there, you know? So, yeah. Oh, here we go now. Here we go. Yes, ma'am. There you go. Yeah. That's right. That's right. So it is, you know, it's just about being present. So anyway, we're going to go into communion, and then are we okay on the video? All right, we think so. The internet connection dropped out at about 10:15 this morning. So that's not a big deal, okay? But let's prepare for a moment to go to communion. Now, and as you, I want to set this video up for you. So this is an example of a place that, you know, is dry bones. I think this is an example of a place that's dry bones. And then, God love Katy Perry. I think this just speaks volumes to what it means to go and to breathe life into something. So we'll get it up, and I'll pray as long as I need to pray until you're ready. But let's just take a moment of silence No, I'm serious though. Let's focus. And then I'll bless it. Okay, let's pray together. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we are forgiven children of God. Amen. Amen. You remember the night in which Jesus was betrayed. He took the bread. He gave thanks. He blessed it. And then he broke it. And he gave it to his friends. And he said, take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he took the bread, the cup, and he gave thanks, and he blessed it, and he gave it to his friends, and he said, take and drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of my new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of your sins and the promise of eternity. Drink this as often as you can to remember me. And these are the gifts of God. This is the breath of God for us, the gathered people of God, the dry bones. Let us receive this gift. Amen. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and juice, that they may become for us your body and blood, that we might become your body redeemed by his blood, that we may go into this world, God, into the valley of dry bones, that we may bring life. We ask now that you give us the strength to feast on these gifts in our hearts, that we might be forever changed. We might be filled by your Spirit. We ask all of this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we could have 8 volunteers who would come this morning.